It is so hard to stay awake and focused when the days are short, when the days are gray, when the light is dim, and what a gift yesterday was. And I hear we get one more day like that today. The lack of light makes many of us feel sleepy, confused, even depressed. When the light appears, everything feels different. Life seems hopeful, and we feel more energetic. Mention a light appears today throughout this service, in the opening prayer, in the psalm, in the song we'll sing during communion, and during our final blessing. Light is a wonderful metaphor for the season of Advent, the four Sundays before Christmas. So, Advent is the church season where we wait in hope for the birth of Jesus. In our opening procession, some of our children carried light into the darkened church. And as they did, we sang, O come, Emmanuel, remembering the Jews' longing for a Messiah or Savior, and early Christians' longing for Jesus' return. We also share this longing for God and for a leader who will rule with justice and fairness. We know that things are not right in our lives, in our nation, and in the world, and that God desires a better present and a better future for all people. Sometimes life is so turbulent and overwhelming that it is hard to see the light. We're living in an era of tremendous change, and the craziness of the national political scene exacerbates our sense of disorientation. Checking the news each day can feel like whiplash. Gosh, what happened in the last 24 hours? And some of us have even developed a gallows sense of humor to cope with developments we never thought we'd see in this country. Many of the institutions that have been important to our country and our communities are crumbling. Some of the public figures we respected and trusted have been accused of sexual misconduct. Who can we now trust? Entertainers, politicians, news commentators, playwrights, and even comedians have betrayed us. Many of the professions that we poured our lives and our gifts into, the jobs that gave us a sense of identity and purpose, are being phased out. I can't tell you how many people have told me as they're downsizing and preparing for retirement that they're, quote, getting out at just the right time. What is happening to our country and our world? Is there any chance of a hopeful future? The profound sense of disorientation and loss that many of us in America are experiencing is similar to the experience of people addressed in today's gospel from Mark. Here, Jesus speaks to a situation about 40 years after the narrative events of Mark's gospel. The community to which Mark's words are addressed has just experienced the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. The temple was a center of Jewish political, religious, and economic life. So to see it coming crashing down was to see a major part of this community's identity and the things that they hoped for and believed in destroyed. I'm sure that many of them asked, where is God? Why did God allow this to happen? Is God mad at us? Here in the 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus is speaking to those experiencing catastrophe, wondering where God is in the mess. Not all light is the light of Christ. There are searchlights positioned on security towers at border crossings. There are lighted signs in the section of every city in which people look for love in all the wrong places. There are even bright Christmas lights that are more about consumerism, instant gratification, and unnecessary debt than Jesus. In Mark's gospel, Jesus speaks to encourage and empower his late first century followers in the face of Roman power and destruction. He speaks to a faith community whose sense of identity and future seems fragile. Jesus tells his followers to pay attention, to stay alert, and to watch the signs all around them. No one knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man will return. So Jesus' followers must remain awake. I wonder about some of the ways that we can stay awake and focus on the light of Christ, even and especially during difficult times. How can we see the new future that God is bringing forth in our midst? I find that the light of Christ reveals itself in the midst of our ordinary lives, my ordinary life, usually in the middle of the messiness of life. And we have a moment to see that light, to participate in it, even to bear it. Every Sunday when I get out of here a little bit late and am starving, I stop at a Subway on the way home for a tuna melt. And there's a woman who is there staffing Subway, the only one, every Sunday. And we've gotten to know each other, and we chat. And last Sunday, she was clearly stressed out. And there were a ton of people, for whatever reason, in the Subway about 1:30 p.m. And she had an assistant who couldn't understand a thing she was saying and was confused and pulling out the wrong bread and didn't know what to do. And she just turned to me and she said, I am over my head. I am stressed out. I think the person who opened the shop was high this morning because the bread is not baked and the place was a mess and my assistant can't understand me and I don't know what to do. And there was just this opening and I said, I have something for you. And it's a prayer. And I said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. She said, could you repeat that? Despite the long lines, what do you want on your sandwich? And so I said it one more time, and I said, and I'll bring you a card next week with this prayer on it. She said, I feel calmer. already. Bob Evander was down at the VA where he volunteers every week. And one of the vets he was visiting was having a post-traumatic stress episode and shouting and yelling. And you know what Bob did? And Bob has been involved in the deep listening training here as part of our listening ministry. And he basically just used the skills and tools that he's developed in the moment. And he grabbed the vet's hand and he sat down on the floor with him and just listened to him and just tried to calm him down. And he said it was just one of the most powerful moments that he's ever experienced. Laura Bafke had a stack of the Be Still pocket practice cards on her desk at Wells Fargo, and they're now all gone. So there is a desire for these prayers, for learning how to be still and knowing that God is God. Where else have we seen this light of Christ? I think how many people set up for this boutique all week and then staffed it. Linda Lopez said she thought there were at least 100 people. And so far it's raised $19,000 to basically help young women in southwestern Uganda get an education, have housing, have food, get the supports that they need so they can have a hopeful future. And today, of course, I'm thinking about Keith Ringgold, in whom many of us saw the light of Christ. I'm still mourning his death. And I think about him, and he was so humble and quiet. Mike Bartsch and I would usually find him up here repairing, you know, this, if you put your hand on it, this will fall off. So he's putting this back, and he's polishing the pews, and he's just keeping this place up so we can worship here and so future generations can worship here. And he's not asking for any acknowledgement or attention. He's just using his gifts. And he actually believed that God kept him alive to help St. Matthew's. He's using his gifts for God's glory. And everything he built was made with love and care. And I saw the light of Christ in him. All these things, all these lives, we see the light of Christ. We see these opportunities, these openings. They usually happen in the moment. And so it's so important to have a daily spiritual practice. And also to have some bandwidth to respond to the people all around us who are in need of a listening ear, who are in need of Christ's light. There's a practice that my fellow preachers and I would love to invite you into this Advent and now in the silence that follows this sermon. And it is the practice of centering prayer. We have some practitioners of centering prayer here in the congregation that you can go to for advice and help. One is Marilyn Haga, one is John Lawyer. We actually have a centering prayer group that meets here every Saturday at 9, and a lot of people who go aren't part of the St. Matthew's community, which I think is wonderful. It's real outreach to the neighborhood. But what I'd like you to do is actually to just sit up. Posture is very important in prayer and in centering prayer. I'd like you to just start to take deep breaths, to let that tension in your neck and back and whatever happened on the way of church in this past week, to just let that go. And then I'd like you to just clear your mind so that you can sit in God's loving presence, sit in the light of Christ and receive. So you might want to have your palms open, maybe on your lap, in a position of receptivity. And as you're breathing, I invite you to choose a word. Perhaps an Advent word like awake, light, hope, or Emmanuel. And every time a thought comes into your mind, to gently wash it away like a wave with that word. And don't be worried if I have a very active mind, what Buddhists can call a monkey mind, a lot of thought. Just keep keep washing those thoughts away, gently moving them aside with that Advent word to signal your intention to remain in God's presence and to receive. And let us just enter into God's loving and gracious presence right now and receive the light of Christ so that we may share it with others. Amen.